Thank you very much, Professor Fitzgerald. Also, thank you, Professor Fu. Distinguished colleagues, friends, of course, very encouraging to see the young faces here. I enjoy a lot on the way to Oxford. Beautiful views, particularly in the sunshine, which is rare during the winter time here in UK. Also, I very impressively to see such a beautiful campus. So I not only enjoy the presentation here this evening, this afternoon, but also the whole sense of the beautiful campus. And I also enjoy, together with your group, share my views about the importance of industrialization. And here, before I begin this the presentation, I just would like to express my heartfelt appreciation to the invitation by Professor Ms. Fu, who is a very distinguished scholar. And let me express my congratulations to your new success. To be a distinguished the professors. And you've conducted lots of researches actually related to the industrialization, economic development in developing countries, in this international community. I believe that research is also important for the informing UNIDO's approaches and the work and the future vision. So I sincerely hope that my presence today here will lay the foundation for a deeper cooperation between UNIDO and this center in the future. And would like to thank Professor once again for giving me this opportunity. I believe that this topic, the importance of industrialization, is a topic that I believe to be relevant for both developed and developing countries. Indeed, we find ourselves at a critical moment or critical juncture today for a number of reasons. First, let us look at the global governance. Global policy making and stability in our 21st century world. Never has the world been more independent, and never has it been more influenced by technological, economic, and social progress, and never has it been more vulnerable to shocks, big shocks from different parts of sectors. Let us also look at the industrial policy, which ironically fell out of fashion in 1990s in most developed countries. Why? As they enter the era of the post-industrial service economy, some Western countries actually thought they would no longer need industry for advancing the prosperity of their people, their countries. Today, as we all continue to suffer the lingering effects of a global financial and economic crisis, but begin with the financial crisis in 2008. Now, actually, it's related to the economic side, social welfare side. We know that it was not correct. It was not correct. Industrial policy is experiencing a major renaissance ever here in the United Kingdom. And finally, let's look at the development policy. As we approach to the 2015 deadline of the Millennium Development Goals, MDG, The international community is busily trying to formulate a post-2015 development agenda, new agenda. And this process, which has now been in process for quite a few years, has already highlighted the fact the economic growth supported by industrial development will have to play a major role in the post-2015 framework. But I will come back to this later in my presentation. What I want to discuss today relates to the shifts in the perception that we have occurred in recent years with regard to the three interrelated issues that I just mentioned: global governance, industrial policy, and global development policy. I have chosen to start by looking back at the history and from there drawing the circle to where we stand today. I would like to highlight the impact of industrialization over the past centuries and the opportunities and benefits it has brought for so many million of people throughout the world. It is industry that has allowed these people to escape from poverty, out of poverty trap, and enable them to live a life of dignity and self-fulfillment. I will then elaborate on the approach and the priorities of the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, which I have had honor to lead since June 2013, last year. Until now, they are about around 8 months or so. Our mandate is to promote and achieve inclusive and sustainable industrial development around the world. I will discuss what it means for the future of the global development policy and architecture, what this means for our understanding of the industrial policy, and what this means for the global governance necessity of the future. And friends, colleagues, it is a special pleasure to address you here today in UK, in this pioneering country where it all began. I mean the industrialization. Let me take you back to the Industrial Revolution, which had its origins here in Britain, the late 18th and early 19th century saw the transition to new manufacturing processes. And this was based on the new technology, new material, new energy sources, and the new management method. Advances in transport and infrastructure went hand in hand with these innovations and reinforced their impact. These developments were made possible through a solid enabling policy environment for entrepreneurs to flourish, supported by the following factors. First, stability and peace. Second, export orientation. Number three is access to finance. And finally, the increasing availability and exchange of knowledge and technology. It is uncontested that this marked a major turning point in history. It transformed the socio-economic life completely for the entire world for centuries. It sparked an unprecedented increase of income levels due to the higher productivity per work and a period of sustained growth. Since the first Industrial Revolution, the experience has repeated itself around the world over and over again. Whether we look at the early advances on the European continent and the United States, or the subsequent modernization of Japan, and indeed the countries that experienced rapid growth in the latter half of the 20th century, including Republic Korea and many other Asian tigers, dragons. The driver remained the same. We can find out, it's very clear, same driver. It was industrial development. We could name it in the different ways, export-oriented, manufacturing, but the core is that industrial development, trade, innovation that shaped their successes. Looking at my own personal experience in my home country, China, I have gained the firm conviction that accelerating industrial development is the important key for achieving high levels of prosperity for all, for the country with a population of 1.3 billion. When China opened up to the outside world in 1980s, it was a very poor country with a larger population. In 1978, the GDP per capita at the current price was $228. Today, after more than 30 years of the dedicated policy to promote the structural diversification and structural transformation of the economy, open up the country to the international market, GDP per capita has grown to more than $6,000. This is a significant achievement for a country with 1.3 billion people, an achievement that has effectively allowed, you know, how many people out of poverty? 700 million people to leave the shackles of poverty behind. This is a significant contribution to the poverty eradication in the international community. And what was the driving force? Again, it was industry, trade, and innovation. Friends, the financial crisis happened in 2008 has taught us many lessons. It has resulted in the growing realization that industry is a key component of making economies more resilient to shocks and the rapid changes. In the economic environment, both the so-called developer and developing countries have recognized structural problems that are hindering their recovery and fear the consequences of the deindustrialization. The developing countries in the South have long emphasized that industrialization is a key strategy for achieving the growth rate, employment opportunities, and the economic structures needed for their people to prosper. At the same time, in the North, industrial growth and the reindustrialization, industrial development will become new focus for those countries. We call industrial renaissance, refocusing on the industrialization or reindustrialization, all the same. At the core of the economic policies being adopted by the developed countries to help their economies emerge from the crisis, ranging from the President Obama of the United States, his economic revitalization strategy in the very West to the Abenomics being the practiced by the government of Japan in the very East. Similarly, the European Union's mission for growth suggests that 20% of its members' GDP should be generated by industrial activity by 2020. It's very near period. This decisive shift is equally visible in the UK. After decades of rejecting industrial policy, I don't want to mention too strictly rejecting industrial policy is not friendly to the industrial policy. Maybe this is a more friendly way to say that. Or at least not accepting to acceptable to call it economic policies by that name, industrialization, industry, and they think that this is a market issue. Market should play the role to promote those manufacturing activities. Is now the government of UK is now promising billions of pounds to its new policy to develop a strategic partnership with industry in order to ensure that Britain is fit for global competition. But you don't have the manufacturing, you don't have the industry activities, it's very hard to compete at the global market. For the first time in generation, industrial policy is being mentioned openly again in policymaking circles. This signifies an important change in the history of the British economic policy. I hope that it will be moving very smoothly, and particularly during the implementation of new policy. What has caused this rethinking of the industrialized countries to shift once again to the industrialization? First, the recent crisis has shown that countries cannot prosper without a strong industrial base. This is one of the reasons. Second, this crisis has also undermined the belief that the industrial policy cannot improve what the market can do on its own. And in fact, countries that active industrial policy making, such as Germany, the Republic of Korea, and China, were shown to have been much better equipped to restructure their industries and weather the crisis happened in 2008 and being now continued to how many years, we still have no answer yet. And we need to understand modern industrial policy making. It is not about picking winners and losers, as it's often claimed, as was often practiced in the past. Similarly, industrialization must not be understood as building one or two factories, or stand-alone assembly line for shoes or shirts. Sound industrialization, I mean here's industrialization, is a complex and systemic process. It requires a concerted effort by all stakeholders in society. It also requires a holistic approach to the structural transformation of the economy. This may touch upon a variety of areas ranging from infrastructure and tax systems to education, research, and investment. I believe that it is industrial policy that effectively brings together and creates necessary synergies between these components. This is why industrial policy is important. This is why we cannot prosper without industrialization, without necessary manufacturing activities. And this is why the industrialization needs to be at the center of any meaningful development effort, the development policy, economic development policies of all the countries in the world. And let me turn to the UNIDO's new mission or new mandate. As a specialized agency of the United Nations, UNIDO is first and foremost concerned with achieving the full eradication of poverty and the creation of shared prosperity for the benefit of all people in the world. 3 decades ago, every second person in the developing world was poor. That's 30 years ago. In 2010, the share of people living in the absolute poor poverty and decreased to just over 20%. Analyzing the factors behind this trend shows that it was countries that enjoy steady economic growth driven by industrialization that managed to reduce poverty most effectively. Those countries. In the end, this is largely why we will achieve MDG 1, to have extreme poverty by 2015 at a global level. In fact, there's not a single country in the world without has reached high stage of economic and social development without having developed an advanced industrial sector. So the country's economic level directly related to the industrial level. That is an equation. When economies transform structurally, moving from a high reliance on agriculture and the natural resource extraction to activities that forced local value addition and the related services, this process unleashes dynamic and competitive forces that generate employment and income, create growth, which is important for the poverty alleviation. At the same time, they also increase the country's ability to participate more effectively and profitably in the international trade. And even though this might come as a surprise to you, such an industrialization process actually often leads to a more efficient use of resources, energy, water, materials, or others, and therefore can be a driving force for safeguarding the environment, environmental friendly. Prosperity, I think yet there's much more to be done here. Prosperity is still out of sight in many parts of the world. Remarkable differences remain between the and within the regions, countries, and the societies. We still understand there are 39 least developed countries in the world, and two-thirds of them located in Africa. And those countries are struggling to be out of poverty for decades with enormous ODAs from those donor countries, which is a very precious taxpayers' money. And now some of them still struggling to be out of this trap. But why? Why we couldn't find they actually seeking some effective ways to be out of that poverty trap? So UNIDO has a kind of role to play, and also the particularly in the past, economic growth occurred too often without providing an opportunity for participation and a reward to the majority of the people and the women and the youth in particular, because those countries are still in that kind of situation. UNIDO would like to do something to help them. I will later on will let you know what's our purpose, what's our useful tools. We all know the evidence of the effectiveness of industrialization as a poverty reduction strategy is not hard to find. It's not hard to find. Look at the countries, advanced countries, as I mentioned, from the industrialization. Those group of countries become advanced countries. What helped them? Industrialization, industrial revolution. And the beginning of the century, the last century, the Japan, Korea, those Asian countries. Now the more countries are actually focusing on industrialization. The African region, they mentioned the next 50 years, industrialization their agenda, main focus for economic development. So, but we also must learn from history and be honest, be objective. Then we need to help the countries to share the best practices, help each other, and for what? For finding useful tools, which is industrialization, manufacturing. Not all was golden in the textile mills of Lancashire or the local mines of Yorkshire in the 19th century. Nor is everything perfect today at the textile factories and other industrial installations in the developing countries and elsewhere. I therefore regard it as our moral responsibility to adopt modern approach to industrial development. So here I mentioned adopt modern approach, which means that inclusive and a sustainable industrial development, and socially inclusive and environmentally sound. It is for this reason that UNIDO is promoting this ISID, Inclusive and Sustainable Industrial Development, ISID, easy to remember. Its objective is to harness the full potential of industry for sustainable development and achieve lasting prosperity for all. Our member states fully agree with this goal. Just at the end of last year, December 2nd last year, UNIDO held its 15th General Council in Lima, Peru. There, all member states discussed the world industrial future, what it means for them and for the prosperity of their people. In response to today's challenges crisis, all member states unanimously adopted a Lima Declaration, Global Declaration, which aims to give a future direction for the role of industry in development. The Lima Declaration, the title is that the Lima Declaration towards inclusive and a sustainable industrial development. This is a whole meaning of the declaration. And in the UN system, we always try to find a consensus. Usually it's not easy. But for industrial policy, all the member states of UNIDO all support this new vision, inclusive and sustainable industrial development. The declaration states very clearly that to eradicate poverty, to improve life of the poor, and share prosperity with all those that have so far been excluded from the dignified human existence, we have to grow our industries in an inclusive and a sustainable manner. To put it in the words of Secretary General Pak Ki-moon, we will not eradicate poverty without industries that promote growth and jobs, innovation, and technology transfer. Secretary General Pak Ki-moon participated in the General Conference, made a very important speech, but out of many important points, this was very, very important one. He pointed out the eradication of poverty for next generation directly has a linkage with the industrialization. And ladies and gentlemen, friends, this is a very clear mandate for UNIDO. And as the director general of UNIDO, I'm fully committed to implementing this mandate and together with our partners to build an industrial future for generations to come. So what do I mean by inclusive, sustainable industrial development? ISRD, around the core issue of industrialization, I see three key challenges in meeting our objectives that I want to elaborate upon and discuss with you in general detail, in greater detail. First, we need to ensure that our efforts not only create wealth, but also distribute it widely across the societies, countries, and regions. Many countries have experienced robust economic growth over the past decade. However, income inequality, as well as unequal access to assets, resources, and opportunities, job opportunities, are continuing to constrain their development, social development. So here the major concept of inclusion is let people share the opportunity to participate in the process of industrialization. And at the same time, they will share the prosperity of the industrialization. Then participation and sharing is the inclusiveness. We know that high level of inequality are detrimental to the social fabric of the countries. Not only do persistent inequalities impede economic growth, they are also unjust and harmful to future generations. And individual level, a more equitable distribution of wealth can be achieved when the decent employment and enhanced income opportunities are available for all segments of the labor force. Manufacturing industries and their related service sectors can absorb large number of workers, provide them with stable jobs and good benefits, and increase the prosperity of their families and communities. Experience from past decades show that shared prosperity was based in most cases on the increased absorption of labor force in industrial jobs and bring higher incomes for the people. And the industry today accounts for about 500 million jobs worldwide. They created 500 million. Or about a fifth of the world's workforce. In order to sustain these stable jobs, economies constantly have to generate new activities based on upgrading to higher value addition, higher productivity, or higher returns to scale. However, inequality also has to be considered on a global level. Today's world is marked by a new geography of poverty where more than 65% of world's poor live in the middle-income countries. This is a very, very important concept. Least developed countries, they are poor, they need more support, they have some population of the poverty, but middle-income countries, because their population, percentage, the lots of poverty still living in middle-income countries. If we are serious about our goal to eradicate poverty globally, we have to take this new reality into account. At the same time, aid and support to least developed countries needs to be rethought. It will require a radical shift in development strategies and partnerships so LDCs can make a significant leap forward in all substantial development dimensions. To achieve this ambitious goal, the commodity sector of LDCs need to become a productive lever for the development and the structural transformation of their economies. With 12% of a global population, LDCs collectively still only produce 1% of world exports and receive less than 2% of global investment. This is a testimony to the relevance and urgency for ISID strategies in LDCs. It is more crucial than ever to give these countries, which have been least favored by our global market, a chance to grow their industries, to lift their people out of poverty through productive activities and the trade, and reduce their dependence on aid. Now we are thinking about new operational approach, which is we would like to identify a small group of countries at the first patch of the operation to help them with their national industrialization strategy. That strategy will be implemented for decades, 5, 10 years, 20 years. And with a holistic approach or programs supporting their industrialization, and then gradually they will build their own capacity. This is a kind of new spirit of ISID. We would like to push ahead with this kind of program together with multilateral development institutions, the World Bank, regional development banks, IADB, AFDB, ADB, etc., and with the multilateral programs, which will be financed by those bilateral development agencies and UN family members. Finally, when we created a kind of sound environment for investment, the private sector will join in. Then we'll push ahead with industrialization, manufacturing, and build a trade capacity, access to the global value chain. And those are the kind of new concept of the manufacturing industrialization. Really help the country develop their own capacity. And when we talk about giving people the fish, and we all know they can eat it for a day, if we teach people to build, to make a fishing net, to build a fishing boat, they can catch fish all their lives. So this is a very new concept for those poor countries. And now international community recognize that this is important to focus on the economic development, economic growth, and which will help the country to meet the challenges of poverty alleviation. And there's a testimony to the relevance and the urgency of ISID strategy in LDC. It is more crucial than ever to give these countries, which have been least favored by global market, that I just now mentioned, but we would like to change this phenomena, change this situation. How to change? With the industrialization strategy aligned to the national economic policies. You know. And we need to create shared prosperity through the inclusive and socially equitable approach to industrial development. Second, we need to ensure that industrial growth does not come at the expense of environment. It's a very important concept again. Any progress on poverty eradication will be short-lived if we do not succeed in achieving the necessary economic growth within an environmentally sustainable framework. And the importance of promoting cleaner and more resource-efficient pathways for production and the decoupling of the economic growth from environmental degradation cannot be emphasized strongly enough. So now we really should emphasize our environmental safeguards while we promote industrialization. We cannot deny that industries generate emissions and have a significant environmental footprint. There is no country that has yet fully resolved the issue of the waste management, water purification, and emissions reduction. No single country resolved that issue. However, environmentally sound interventions in the industrial sector can be highly effective and greatly reduce the causes of the environmental degradation. Industry has to be part of the solution, and it can. The drive of innovation and process optimization, the core of any industrial upgrade effort, is an important means to develop necessary solutions to realize cleaner production, efficient use of resources, and eradication or reduction in waste and the pollution. The fact is that we have the technological capability for cleaner production today. Demanding to choose between industrial growth and sustainability is therefore the wrong approach. So do we need to choose between industrial growth and the sustainability of it? No, we don't need to choose. It combined together. I'm convinced that it is the transformation in production processes and the business model going hand in hand with the right choice of technologies. Here, technology is very important. And that will provide the solutions to the daunting environmental challenges of our time. But those kind of technologies being developed and also achieved a lot of success in using of those kind of technology internationally. At UNIDO, we are committed to strengthening this critical link between technology and a sustainable development by bringing together all relevant partners that can make a contribution to this effort. Innovators in industry and academia, investors, producers, and consumers, as well as regulators. In this connection, UNIDO has partnered with a variety of other counterparts to establish national cleaner production centers. I think some of you already heard of that, the clean production centers. How many of them? In almost 50 countries. Multi-stakeholder green industrial platform, a climate technology center and network, a number of investment technology promotion center. Those are we call GIP, is a green industrial platform, the climate technology center, network, and investment technology promotion center, ITPC. UNIDO is also supporting the Secretary General's Sustainable Energy for All initiative. This is an initiative by 2030 that all the international community, particularly poor people in the developing country, to access the power, the energy. UNIDO is also supporting Secretary General's initiative because we are implementing ISID. This partnership model with an institutional framework spanning the whole globe has proven very successful in supporting environmentally sustainable industrial development. We can only achieve shared prosperity within an environmentally sustainable framework. And number three, we need to adopt new ways of working together that create incentives for everyone to cooperate and contribute to meeting local demands and needs. We have a challenging agenda ahead of us. In order to succeed, we will have to change the way we run our business. International Development Cooperation itself has to change. It has to appreciate a new area of development in which diversity of actors are able to leverage development outcomes Through the combining knowledge, finance, and other resources, these actors, including government, private sector, civil society, academia, international organizations, and bilateral development partners. Those are partnership concept, now being widely spread at the UN framework, at the other parts of the world, development communities, at the UNIDO. We are strongly pushed for the partnership. Yeah. Increasing the connectedness through networks and partnership is one of the key requirements of successfully implementing ISRD. If we consider that more than two-thirds of growth in developing countries stem from catching up on technology and from acquiring knowledge from more advanced countries, it is clear that livelihoods can be sustainably improved through the enhanced transfer of technologies and the dissemination of knowledge. We cannot afford to leave this potential untapped. Bringing in mind the most developing countries face immense difficulties in attracting investment, the successful implementation of ISRD also requires adequate financing. Diverse sources of finance facilitated by international partnerships, both the North-South, the traditional donor scheme, the donor system, and the South-South axis, the new addition of the cooperation between South-South countries. And through the triangular cooperation, that means another new way. Now we pushed strongly. Will play the crucial role in this regard. This will also require strong commitment of local national government to the implementation of ISRD strategies, including the establishment of adequate governance mechanism and the institutional infrastructure to this end. Overall, we have to foster multi-stakeholders partnership for effectively managing the transformation towards inclusive, sustainable industrial development. We need to create networks for prosperity, create a partnership, strong partnership. So friends, from all that I have said so far, you will see that implementing ISRD is a complex endeavor. Thankfully, we are not starting from scratch. There are many good examples to build on, successful stories to share. Many countries have achieved high levels of sustainable development in all its dimensions, economic, social, and environmental. For the benefit of their people, we should learn from those who have succeeded and study their ideas, policies, strategies, as well as the challenges they have faced, and intensify our efforts to fully eradicate poverty within next generation. With this in mind, I'm planning to arrange a series of forums starting this year with member states of UNIDO. I will also invite relevant stakeholders from the public and private sector, civil society, and academia. At these meetings, I want to discuss global best practices on industrialization. I want to exchange knowledge on the most effective policies and gather innovative ideas for the industrialization concept of the future for some countries. And I want to establish strong partnership to replicate these best practices in countries that have been left behind. Of course, it will be my pleasure if these forums could also benefit from the knowledge and the experience of this renowned institution and distinguished professors here and University of Oxford. As I have already indicated, UNIDO's approach to industrial development is closely aligned with objectives of technology. As I mentioned, so many centers, so many forums being created solely for clean production technologies and other advanced technology for industrial development. And we really would like to actually develop this kind of relationship and continue this process, which already began in the past. We enjoyed very much with TMD. I really hope that my presentation here demonstrate a strong signal for a new stage of the cooperation with many important topics, for technology advancement and economic policy design and management for development. Colleagues and friends, I have now dealt at length on the importance of industry. I hope that you will understand and perhaps share my points of view. But what are the implications for our future development strategies, and in particular for the new framework to succeed the MDGs that the international community is busy drafting at the moment? As a vigilant observer's prospective influences of the international development debate, I'm sure that this is an issue that you are most concerned about. Since I assumed office June last year, I have met policymakers across the globe, across the world. I have heard similar questions and concerns on the agenda for the future. How to sustain growth? How to create lasting jobs that generate income? How to enhance the capacities of country to participate in international trade and globalization? And how to advance overall well-being of their people? I'm sure that we all agree with overarching goals to eradicate extreme poverty within the next generation, 20 years, around 20 years, a very daunting task. At the same time, the lessons of history has taught us that future strategies for poverty eradication need to be economically empowered. They must focus on three dimensions of sustainable development: economic, social, and environmental. This is the only way to generate income needed to enable individuals, households, and governments to pursue their own development priorities and embark on a path to self-reliance. This is the ultimate goal of a development effort and the only way to achieve sustainable development in the long run. A concentration on the achievement of social sector objectives funded by overseas development assistance will not end poverty. This is a very important concept. I just would like to repeat it again. And concentration on the achievement of social sector objectives funded by overseas development assistance will not end poverty itself. So development cannot be achieved through the philanthropy or charity alone. In fact, achieving a sustainable impact on social environmental challenges has proven extremely difficult in the absence of economic growth. Now, what is the driving force for economic growth? The new smart aid approach of UK Department of International Development, DFID, builds on its realization. While the UK is no longer a member of UNIDO, sorry to say that they left, we are still keep the door open. And the UK's company, UK's people, still kind of join the operation of UNITA. And while the UK is no longer a member of UNITA, I'm delighted to see that it has also come to emphasize economic growth as the only way to reduce poverty through the jobs which generate income for the individuals as well as state. Heather Diffitt actually announced that the economic growth will be their main focus. Yeah. This is a new policy. We are very happy to see that, happy to hear. As I have already told you, I fully agree with this approach and for this vision to become reality. And we will need to strengthen and ingenuity of industry. We need inclusive and sustainable industrial development. But in order to design and implement effectively programs tailored to specific needs of the various developing countries, we need an open-minded dialogue on the future of international development cooperation. Our challenges now, our historical opportunity is to recognize the potential of ISID. This is a new vision. I strongly believe is suitable for UNIDO, United Nations Industrial Development Organization. It is suitable for maybe all those countries struggling to find a way to generate economic growth. Is suitable, conducive to the international efforts to eradicate poverty within next generation. So let me combine our efforts for the common good in the new long-term development agenda beyond 2015. Let's make sure that we must end the poverty within the next generation. And together we can achieve this ambitious goal. As partner for prosperity, we need to work together. So thank you so much for this presentation, for your attention. I noticed that all of you listened very carefully about my presentation. I really hope that it will be helpful for your research, for your study, for your job, for your future career, and for the cooperation between UNIDO and the University of Oxford. Thank you. Thank you so much.